Today, as we celebrate this great solemnity of all of the saints, we are not speaking merely about all of those who have been canonized, but rather the immense multitude of all of the souls who are in heaven, all those whose names have not been known, some for centuries, for some perhaps it's your grandparents or your great-grandparents. It's everyone who is in heaven that we are celebrating today. And this gives us all great hope, because sometimes when we look at the great saints, we then, of course, look at ourselves and we think, I'm not like that. And then we might be tempted to think, I can't get to heaven because I can't do these extraordinary things like some of the great saints did. But that's why today is so important, because this is for the ordinary saints, not the extraordinary saints. Sure, the extraordinary ones are there too, but these are for the ordinary people, the moms and the dads and the people who spent their life in service of others in a nice, quiet, hidden manner, and they became saints by doing so. We see, for instance, in the gospel, in the various Beatitudes, that there is not just a single way of becoming saints. We see that, of course, even in the lives of all the canonized saints. They are so different one from another. There are some things that are similar with some of them. A number of them may perhaps work with the poor, or a number of them were martyred, or whatever it may be. But you look at their lives, and you see the way that God made them saints, and you recognize that each one is unique. There are no two of them that became saints the same way. And the same is going to be true with you and me. God is going to work with each one of us individually. And that, again, is so important for us to understand, because we cannot compare ourselves with anyone else. Sometimes, if we look again at the Beatitudes, we might look at somebody who is very meek, or we might see somebody who's very merciful, or we might see somebody with all these talents and abilities. And again, we're going to get depressed because I'm not like that. Maybe God didn't want you to be like that. He wants you to be a saint according to the way that He's going to make you a saint. For some of those people, again, looking at the Beatitudes, maybe someone is really pure of heart and they live their life that way and they're a great example to so many people around them and they help others in that same path. Others may be humble or meek or whatever it may be. And then again, we look at ourselves and we think, well, but I don't know if I have any of those. Then it's precisely by developing them that God is going to make you a saint. Some of them, He basically put it right into their personality or infused the virtue into them so that they can live it, sometimes in extraordinary ways, because the people around them need that. And for most of us, what's extraordinary is the way that we're going to have to scratch and claw and fight just to be able to obtain that virtue. And that is how you're going to become a saint. It's not glamorous. It's not working miracles. It's not doing amazing things. But God isn't interested in all the amazing things that someone can do. Really, if you think about it, if somebody works a miracle, it's God who did it. The person didn't do it. We don't have the ability in ourselves to do anything miraculous. Only God can do that. So we look at and go, oh, that person's such a saint. They're so holy. Look what they did. They didn't do it. God did. So if you want to see a real miracle, look at your faith. Look at your charity. Look at the virtue that you're striving to obtain. Look at the vices in your life that you're working to overcome. And when by the grace of God you are able to overcome those things, praise the Lord. That's greater than somebody out there working some miraculous sign. Sure, they cooperated with God to bring about the miracle, but God did it. If you're cooperating with God just to try to overcome the sins in your life and to become virtuous, that is extraordinary. It doesn't seem like it, but it is, because it takes a lot of work on our part to overcome our own self in all the various areas that we suffer with. So God is asking us all to be saints, and He's going to work with each one of us with our own personality. He's going to work with each one of us in our own state in life. He's going to work with each one of us according to our own strengths and weaknesses. So again, don't look at anybody else. Just look at the Lord and ask the Lord what He wants from you. Ask the Lord how He wants you to become a saint. And don't worry about how anybody else is doing it. You can help them along the way, certainly, but again, don't compare yourself, because it's an unfair comparison. Because if there's somebody who is really, really, really good at something and you're not, well, the only thing you can do is say they're good at it and I'm not. But to be able to say, oh, but they're so holy because they can do that and I'm not holy because I can't, that's not true. It may be that part of the way they're going to grow in holiness is using their talents and gifts for the Lord, but that's the way we're going to grow in holiness too. But their gifts and talents may be different from ours. So don't compare apples to oranges, because it doesn't work. Just focus on doing the will of God. That's what it's all about. And if we are doing that, if we are intent on doing the will of God, isn't it interesting in the first reading how we are told that before the angel was going to start clearing things up off the earth, that they had to mark the foreheads of the servants of the Lord? Because we hear in the exact same book that there is a mark on the foreheads of those who serve the devil too. So again, you see the choice. You see the dichotomy. It is one or the other. So as long as we're making that choice to say, I am about doing the will of God, that's where we're going to be marked. We look at the prophet Ezekiel, and we're told in the book of Ezekiel that when they were going to destroy the temple, they were told the same thing. Wait, we need to mark all of those who are with the Lord. But it's interesting that the Hebrew word for mark is tau. When they translated the Old Testament into Greek, rather than translating the word, they simply transliterated it. And so the Greek word tau is a letter. It looks like a T or a cross. So in other words, we need to put a cross on the foreheads of the servants of the Lord. We are going to mark them with the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's where we need to be focused. The cross is our salvation. The cross is our hope. If you were to take a poll of every single saint who is in heaven, that's the one thing they all have in common. They're saved by the cross of our Lord Jesus. No one gets to heaven apart from that. So that's where we want to focus. That's the mark that God is going to put upon His servants. And if that's the mark that we're going to have, then we need to be conformed to the cross. That's that dying to self. That's that overcoming of sin. That's the living in the freedom of the children of God. However you want to look at it, all those are the things that we want to be about so that we can get to heaven. That is the only thing that matters. God, I can guarantee you, is not going to look and say, well, this person had all these gifts and talents and you didn't, so bummer for you. No, he's going to look at you and say, what did you do with what you were given? If that's one talent or 20, what did you do with what you were given? How much did you strive to overcome the weaknesses in your own person? Were you truly focused on striving to do the will of God? Or are we only interested in doing our own will? Those are the kinds of things that we have to be about. And if we're going to be about the Lord and we're going to be about dying to self and so on, that's taking up the cross and following the Lord. That is how we will all become saints. So that's what's being presented to us today. There are a myriad of ways of being able to get to heaven. And thanks be to God that even though we've got somewhere around 8,000 or so canonized saints, that's not very many out of 2,000 years. That's 4 a year. That would leave us pretty hopeless. St. John saw a crowd that no one could number. No one could number. Right before that, he saw a crowd of 144,000. Had no trouble numbering them. This crowd from every language and race and tongue and tribe and so on, no one could number. That's what gives people like you and me hope. There are a lot of people in heaven. They aren't all the extraordinary saints. Most of them are the ordinary ones who simply lived a quiet, hidden life, working out their salvation by overcoming their sins and loving to learn God and the people around them.